All right, let's go. Okay, all right. Wayne Simmons has played 1,000 games. Giordano's played 1,000 games. And Drew Doughty. Remember, Tim?
Yep.
Where did he play?
Drew Doughty? I don't think he played out kind of in Western Ontario, but we saw Wayne Simmons play.
Yeah, Wayne Simmons.
When he was a minor midget, and he was 15 years old, and he kind of went up and down, and he back then he was not a very good skater.
You were telling me before that I likened him when we were standing there to Gordon Labossiere. You go in the corner with him, he was about the same size, eh?
Yeah. I think
Labossiere was a little bigger. And just elbows and knees and win.
That was the thing. I remember we were sitting there and we were talking and I go, oh, I don't know if he'll get drafted. Dad goes, well, his skating's got to improve. But I'll tell you one thing. He says, of all the guys in the Greater Toronto Hockey League, he goes, the last guy I want to go in the corner with was him.
He could throw him too. And, you know, he plays a tough game. He doesn't play an easy game. He plays a tough game, fighting and hitting and banging and 1,000 games. That's pretty good.
And the thing is with him, too, is, again, this is for kids that don't get drafted. He got passed over twice.
Mike Fuda was the guy that rescued him.
Fuda drafted him in when he was 18 years old in the Owen Sound. And I remember we were at the draft, and it was funny that he drafted him because normally what you do is you just – invite him to camp, right?
Yeah.
But he invited him, and we're all saying, Wayne Simmons, I kind of, like, because he was kind of fell off the radar a little bit because he was playing midget hockey. And we thought, yeah, well, I remember him, and he drafted him, I think, 11th round.
Yeah, and Giordano was in, and Mike Fuda picked up Giordano, was in the Steve Simmons column. And Mike Fuda, he knows what's going on. Montreal just keeps winning. And Arizona, they're winning too. I think Montreal and Arizona at the time we do this have 35 points. Seattle has 39 points.
Yeah, but that was a big game. This is Sunday morning that we record it, but that was a big game last night for Edmonton to lose.
Tim, I'm not. I like Smith, but they need a goaltender. They really do. They got the 1-2 scoring in the National Hockey League. And they're not going to make the playoff. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're not going to make the playoff.
No, they're slipping out of the race pretty quick.
But, I mean, you got 1-2 in the scoring. That hasn't been – I can't remember that the last time. I remember Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito used to – I think they did it quite a few times too. But, I mean, you shouldn't be out of the playoffs when you got those two guys. I mean, everybody wants to see them. I know I'd like to see them.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, though, Dad, like with the – this has been about 2 or 3 years they've kind of they've needed a goalie. And the GM just, like as you said, we were watching them the other night, you said the goalies don't steal them a game.
They don't steal games. And you got to steal once in a while. Cheevers, I hate to bring back, but Cheevers and Jilly used to steal games all the time. I mean, he walk in and he hated me so much.
He had good motive to win, despite you.
Well, everybody knew. I mean, quite obvious what was going on. And they'd play a little harder when Jilly was in the net.
Did they really? Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They knew.
They felt sorry for him.
Well, say you play 3 games in 3 nights. Cheevers would get the first 2 games, and Jilly would get the third game because, you're pretty tired by the 3 games in 3 nights. And, boy, they'd turn it on for him. They liked – I don't know if they liked him or not, but they knew what was going on.
And – Both Jilly and Jerry Cheevers still hold records that stand today. Jerry Cheevers, and before you got there, though, 71, 72, he went unbeaten in 35 games.
That's unbelievable.
And nobody's beaten that. So you think Patrick Waugh and Brodeur and Hasek, nobody's won unbeaten in 35.
And don't forget Jilly's record.
And Jilly was 17 consecutive wins. Not consecutive in a row, but like because he didn't play every game in a row. But 17 consecutive starts, 17 wins, and again, back then there was ties.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, you could have, like today, a goalie can, you know, a game could be a tie, then they win in overtime, is considered a win.
Yeah.
But he had 17 straight wins.
I remember, I'm going to tell a story again, but I know I told it before. We were going to play Pittsburgh. I should tell a story about Terry coming. But anyhow, we win the first two games. Cheevers won the first two games. And so if they were going to win a game, they were going to win the third game.
First game back at home.
Yeah, they're going to win that game. So I put Chili in the net as usual. And the trainer came to me and he said, you can't play. I said, what do you mean he can't play? He's got hives. I just didn't understand it. And he says, come and take a look. So I said to Cheevers, and I think that was the greatest game Cheevers ever played. I think he had a hot dog and a Coke before and a towel around his neck. I says, you're playing. What do you mean I'm playing? And I says, he's got the hives. And that was, I think that was the greatest game.
They hung blue in effigy.
Oh yeah, I'm going on. And this they had a big picture of a big thing of blue, had to be 4 feet high,
like a big stuffed dog.
The big stuffed dog of blue, and you know, and I'm waving to the guy up on. So I go out the third round. We're beating him, and he's hanging blue. He's hanging on a rope.
So you played with Jerry Cheevers in Rochester, and he's known and famous for his famous mask. You know, to show all the stitches.
Yeah.
Did he have that mask in Rochester?
No,
or did
he didn't.
Just start that.
No,
way?
I'll tell you how that happened.
Because that mask, excuse me, that mask is that. I think it's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Bad. So I'll tell you how that happened. He really got corked with the mask. There was no stitches on it or anything. So he went off. He says, "Harry, I think I got to go off." He says, "Get out here!" You know, back in those days, get out here and get.
So this is before you. This is a set early.
Yeah,
70s.
And Frosty Forrestal, who was our assistant trainer.
Yeah.
Put a stitch, you know, like that.
He got a sharpie and put a stitch.
Yeah, put
a,
yeah,
oh,
got a
just
sharpie.
Just to make the point that.
Just to make the
he
point.
He made him back, go
so,
back.
So and he's hey, that looks pretty good. Every time he never got hit that many times.
No.
No, but he looked good.
Yeah, look, it does look good. You it's know. Famous now. Imagine.
Yeah, it's a white mask with.
Stitch marks.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
it.
Stitch yeah. Mark. People can go down to the, as I say, Hockey Hall of Fame
yeah.
and see it.
But you never
well, when you played with him in Rochester, he didn't wear a mask.
He didn't wear a mask.
I remember
oh,
the
I
time Red Berenson walked around you.
But oh, I had played in, I had played in, and I got into a fight, pretty good fight with Bugsy Watson. And so the next time back, I sat for the whole time, sat the whole period. And, no, two periods. And so the crowd, we want Cherry, we want Cherry. Because I'd gotten the fighting. Oh, he throws me out there the last 5 minutes. My legs were like lead. And Berenson walks around me and hit him in the mouth, I think.
Yeah, I remember he took a backhand, hit him, and knocked all his teeth out.
So, yeah. So now that we're talking about that, and we got
so
a million
who's the
things.
So coach? Your buddy Crozier?
So he said, we lose the game, I think. And he says, everybody out for practice tomorrow. Jeez, he got his teeth all knocked out. You know, he looked at, and I knew too, you're a, stay home. I had to be nuts. I'm telling the players to stay home. Jeez. I went in, this is, Cheevers is not here, his mouth's all swollen. And Joe Crozier had settled down by then.
Yeah. Didn't he? But did he get, like, did they sew the teeth back in, or did he get pegs?
He get knocked his teeth out and his mouth was all cut.
I think when he tells that story too is Betty, his wife, was about to have their first kid, so it was double whammy.
Yeah. So anyhow. So, so how did we get into that?
We're talking about Edmonton needs to get a goalie.
Well, you know, I hate to say it because I like Smith. He's from around Kingston. Where is he from? I think he's Glen Burnie or someplace. So anyhow, they need a goalie, and they definitely need a goalie because when you have first and second in the scoring, and there's no way they should need they need
it
a goalie.
Seems like their fans though are pretty tolerant, aren't they?
Boy, they're good fans.
I mean, if you imagine if that was Toronto or Montreal, I mean,
Toronto loses the other night, they booed him.
Yeah.
Going on, but they got good fans.
Well,
in
the, that's the thing. Now we want to talk about Toronto. Their goalies are struggling a little bit now too.
I know he's making a lot of money and Tavares, but boy, he very rarely he loses a face off. It's a tie or he wins it.
They're the number one face-off team in the league. And Tavares is like one of the top guys. I mean, last night, again, they were this is Sunday, they were playing Vancouver. I mean, in the third period, I mean, I think he won five in a row.
Tim, tell that story that I don't quite understand it. Penalty killer and the power play combined. What was that? Give us that one again. That's unbelievable.
Pittsburgh's drawn the most penalties. In other words, they've had 260 penalties called for them. So they have power plays.
Yeah.
And they've only had 172 penalties called against
them. Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. So they've had 44 more power plays than penalty kills this year, which is the number one in the league. And that's what John Cooper was complaining about.
Yeah.
Because he got thrown out.
Well, it was a scrum. Scrum. It's scrum. And he got the extra guy. And he was giving it to, we won't say to the referee, but I got thrown out. I remember I got thrown out of a game and Cheevers took over. Cheevers, the backup goaltender, said, it was only about 3 or 4 minutes left. I said, here you. He was sitting there with a towel around his neck.
Remember Robbie, his son always said, Dad, why do you always have a towel around your neck?
That cost him. I mean, if we had him in Team Canada in 76, the greatest team I've ever seen, what a defense they had. And, you know, I remember they called me up to the, and I looked, I knew what it was about. It was about Cheevers because they wanted to play Cheevers, but he wouldn't practice. I mean, they'd go in and they'd tip pucks, you know.
Remember you were saying there was a scrimmage and Steve Shutt came down.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the greatest things, we had a scrimmage and a real, real good scrimmage. And Shutt, boy, could he shoot a puck in that top corner. And Cheevers was in the net. And I said, guy, by God, I said, you know, that shot almost hit you. And the guy started to think about it. We had a lot of fun.
Well, you think of that 76 team, the goalie was Rogie Vachon.
Rogie Vachon was the winner in the Hall of Fame. And
the funny thing was, the Soviets didn't even, or Russians, they didn't even make the finals. The Czechs beat them.
Yeah, and we had, the Czechs had a little guy.
Drozilla was their goalie. Yeah,
Drozilla. And, no, we won't go into that. But anyhow.
But it was just like, it was funny. It was,
no, that stat you were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, but I was just kind of looking because.
That is unbelievable.
Because the Leafs are one of the least penalized teams in the league.
Well, yeah.
Going into the thing, but they've had to kill 8 more penalties
that's
than they've had power plays.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. So they're the least penalized team, but the other teams still get more power plays.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I remember the year, how many power plays did we have? We had to kill more?
Oh, the 74-75 season, that's when Terry, I think, had 300 minutes in penalties. You had, the other team had 61 more power plays.
61 more power plays. Think about that.
Well, your penalty killers were very specialized.
Well, we had Davey Forbes. Let me see. Davey Forbes and Marcotte and Greg Shepherd. Greg Shepherd was great on draws. That's the main thing. And when you're killing a penalty, if you get the draw, that's the main thing. Because, you know, that's 30 seconds right off the bat. You get the draw back. And now it's in your own end. Before it was, if the infraction happened at the red blue line, we had it at the blue line.
Yeah. Well, because Tavares, last night, he was just unbelievable in the draws.
He doesn't lose too many draws, I'll tell you that. It's either a tie or a win.
But in the 5 years that you coached Boston, you had 237 more penalties than you had four. So, I mean, you had 237 more power penalty kills than power plays.
You know, it's funny thing about the power play, or penalty killer. When they go on the ice, when the guy had the hand in the air for the penalty, as soon as those guys would be on the ice before, they took pride in killing the penalty.
They really did.
Yeah.
And you didn't call them the third line or anything.
No,
they were your specialties.
And Davey Ford, and I never, when they won a fighter or they got a goal, I never went near them. But when they kill a penalty, I go back and pat them on the back. Boy.
Because you weren't a big patting on the back type coach. You never touched the players.
Well, I told you.
Except for that.
I'm not going to tell that story about Bobby Orr again, but the only time I ever went down to say, but anyhow.
So, like, what was your thing on killing penalties? Like, did you like the guys to kind of hold back, or did you like them to, like...
I like the scooters. I like the guys that could really move. I like Marner, don't get me wrong, but he'll never block a shot for the Leafs.
Well, don't get about blocking shots. The Leafs...
They're going to be sorry playing that guy killing penalties.
Well, the Leafs are second last in blocking shots.
Oh, is that right?
Right. And, like, last night, how many goals were tippins from the point on Campbell? Like...
It's hard to believe when you watch the Leafs, but Montreal, unbelievable at the way they're going. Yeah,
can I? You know, it seems to me, or is it my imagination, that the guys that are killing penalties in the games today are trying to score though too to get the glory. I mean, I can imagine if your penalty killers ever tried to score a goal. I mean, that was not their job.
No,
but it seems like today they're big on possibly scoring more.
You know the one thing that I can't. Oh, how about the pass up the middle, Tim?
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about that with Dad, and I was saying, you know, my big thing was passes up the middle. Yeah, it was, because you were always off the glass or around the boards.
And, you know, I don't see them putting it off the glass more. One, a goaltender puts it off the glass.
Last night in the Vancouver-Toronto game, the guy put it right on.
Of all guys, Matthews.
Matthews stick it right in the top corner.
Did he?
Of you always saying off the glass and around the boards. Remember that was Jerry was so sick of hearing about it, he named two of his racehorses after that? That was pretty funny.
I still have that picture of around the boards.
Around the boards and off the glass. Those are the two horses I remember. And
so you know, if a guy did that, was it Besser did that or whoever did it last night and he came to the bench, what would you say to him?
What the f*** are you doing? Are you out of your mind? And we never went up the middle. But I think I'd have to, if I was coaching today, I'd have to think about going up the middle. But, you know, I feel sorry for him. He threw it kind of blind. It wasn't his job. The centerman should have been there.
Somebody should have been there because there was nobody around Matthews.
He could have picked his nose and put it in.
But talking about penalties, who do you think has the most minors called against them this year? What team?
I don't know.
Carolina.
Get out.
Yeah. The number one team in the league has the most minors called against them.
Gee, you come up with those things.
No, I just like looking at those goofy stats, and you would think, well, so much for, oh, you got to play a disciplined game and all that.
Yeah.
They get 200, they had 207 minors called against them so
far. You know,
far.
That is unbelievable.
I bet you they have a specialized penalty killer.
No, I bet you they do. You know, I watched the New York Islanders last night. They have a tough time in their new arena. And it's a nice arena too, but they love that old arena. And what's their record?
They've won like 11 at home. They're one of the worst teams at home this year. I only think Montreal and
they're doing
Arizona
something
have
wrong.
Wins.
And they're doing something wrong. I don't know what they're doing wrong, but it's a lovely arena, and they just can't win in it.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spread.ca. They're an online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign
Canadian?
Up, they're Canadian. And if you sign up now and use the promo code GRAPES, they'll match your deposit up to $500. They give you 10 spins on the big wheel. And if you get, I think it's 3 of your jackets, you get some big dough. And then your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. But, Dad, this week, John Cooper of Tampa got thrown out for abusive...
$25,000.
And he got fined $25,000 for abusive officials. He was pretty mad at the whole...
Well, it was a scrum going on.
And then they ended up getting the extra 2 minutes. But there's a couple of coaches this past couple of weeks, got in trouble.
Yeah. Well, the Michigan, that Juwan Howard, I think that's how you pronounce his name, got 40... I mean, 40 grand.
He's a basketball coach.
Basketball coach. And he was leaving. If you look at the highlights of it, he was going by and the guy grabbed his arm.
Right. So I'll kind of explain what happened was that Juwan Howard, he's the basketball coach of Michigan, and they were playing Wisconsin, and Wisconsin was up by 15 points with about 4 seconds to go, and the Wisconsin coach called a timeout.
Yeah, you just don't do that. It's the same thing as leaving your number one power play on with about a minute to go and you're winning 6-1 or something like that.
And so they have that kind of semi-formal handshake line at the end. And the guy and the Michigan coach says, I'll remember you did that.
And yeah, he wasn't saying anything to the guy. He was when he first saw, he grabbed his arm as he went by.
Right, and then when he grabbed him, and then he kind of swatted him. He didn't punch
him. Well, he did punch him. He grabbed him by the face.
But the funny thing was, you and I were talking, but we were watching the Wisconsin coach talking about it. He was saying, well, the reason I did it was this, and the reason I did it was that, and this is why I did it. You doesn't know the rules, and it was like, they'll protest too much. You might be able to fool the media guys, but the basketball coaches were saying, you
and know, hockey guys, too. And the players remember,
you dirty
if
rat.
You're getting whomped, and the guy puts his number one power play on with a minute to go, you're in trouble.
Well, I remember, I think we talked, you just talked about it a little bit before, but you got thrown out. I remember something happened with Davey Forbes.
Oh, yeah, Davey Forbes. No.
Or was it Dwight? Was it Forbes or Dwight Foster? I think it was
Dwight Foster. Dwight Foster, yeah. And I says, if he gives him a penalty, I said, I'm going after it. And I remember the players holding me back. I don't know.
Well, you stood on the boards.
I stood on the boards, but...
That it was pretty amazing how you could stand on the boards.
You know, it's a
like
funny
that.
Thing.
You look back and you just don't wonder.
I look and I try to... I said, I wonder if I could do that. You know, when it was empty. And it was empty, and it was after practice, and everybody had left. I could not walk on those boards. You know the boots I used to have?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you didn't get many bench penalties, though.
No.
You knew how to
yell.
You
got one big one.
Yeah, one time. But you knew how far to go, it seems.
Well, tell the story about, and I think we told it once before, but it's worth telling again, when you were in Toronto.
Oh, in the airport.
Oh, Dave Newell. I remember I was giving it to Dave Newell in Toronto, and it was a face-off on the far side, and he said he called a timeout. Oh, holy shit! I'm down on the front. Oh, shouldn't have said that. And he comes over, and I come down, and
So you got in front of the players. You're right at the
I was
at
in
the
front,
gate.
I was right standing right in front of the players. I was because I was in the back, and I could see him coming over. And I knew he was going to give it to me, pretty good. And he poked me in the chest. And he's, that's the sharpest suit you've ever, and you give it to me, you couldn't, well, and the players are killing them.
Well, the funny thing was, because I remember we were at home watching it.
We were watching it.
And the Hockey Night Canada was going, and there's Dave Newell severely reprimanding Don Cherry. Look at it. And it really looked like he was yelling at you, and he was pointing.
And you were, had that stunned look on your face.
Yeah, because I didn't know when he said, that's the sharpest suit. He's poking me in the chest. Players are killing
him. And then when he skated away, he turned around and he.
And he said, don't you, and giving it to me again. And,
right in the middle of the ice, he was still pointing at you, like he was yelling at you.
Oh, he was giving me
And the heck. Fans are going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he had a couple of instances. Tell the story about you in the airport with Ron.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you one before that. It was Carrie, Ron, and myself. We were standing waiting, and this lady, it must have been a grandmom, and a young kid and a lady.
And
they were
going,
they were taking a long time.
To get the tickets.
To get the tickets, yeah. We're standing in line. And Ron is the kindest guy you'll ever meet. And Ron said something, I hope they're not going to Hong Kong or something like that.
Because they were taking long.
Yeah, and the mother and the grandmother heard him.
Oh.
And I said, and I can't leave that go.
Oh.
And I said, well, he's like that all the time. He's so, you know. And boy, she giving him dirty looks, and he's not like that at all.
Yeah, but so, I remember the one funny one you're talking about. It was after a game in the playoffs, and there was some questionable calls in the game, and the head of the referee, Stephen Walken, was waiting.
Yeah, he was over in the corner. He was standing in the middle. Of
waiting for the plane.
Yeah, we're waiting for the plane. So I go over, and I said, I'm giving him heck right now. And Ron, no, don't.
Yeah,
give
so
him.
Ron didn't like that.
Don't give him heck.
Don't.
So I go over and I said to Walken before, I said, look, I'm going to really give it to you. Look, it looks like I'm giving it to you, but I'm not. I'm going to poke you in the chest and the whole deal. So he played it pretty good. Steve Walken played it pretty good.
Like giving it back to you.
Oh, boy, he's giving it back to me. We're having an awful argument. And I said, when I come back to Ron, I said, I told him that you said the same. No, you didn't say that. I said, I'm a referee. And, now,
the best part of the story is
the best part of the story is I get the paper the next day, and here's the headlines of the paper. What was it? What did it say?
It said, the dinosaur Don Cherry verbally attacked Stephen Walken waiting for the plane.
What is he talking about? And here was like a joke.
It was a joke, and it was like you were a dinosaur verbally attacking and abusing Stephen Walken and all that.
It made it to the paper. So there must have been a reporter.
We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun on the road.
Tell the story, the one story with Ron where he fell asleep and you guys were on the tarmac.
Oh, no, yeah, that was Bob Cole.
Was it Bob Cole?
It was Bob Cole. And so he fell asleep waiting, you know, waiting there.
So you're all guys, you're all on the plane and you're...
Well, we were... What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. He fell asleep. So I go to the lady and, you know, the stewardess, it was there. And I said, you better you go, like, we all hid. And I said, go over to Bob Cole and tell him, weren't you supposed to be on that plane that's out on the tarmac? And, well, we had a lot of fun like that.
So, Dad, there was another funny story with you traveling with Ron where he fell asleep.
He's always falling asleep.
You guys were waiting on the tarmac, and you played a joke on
him. So, and he falls asleep, and we're waiting, and we waited for about 15, 20 minutes. And I said, okay, and there was a small first class. And I said, now, everybody get up and start putting on your coats. And they all went, so...
Pretending you landed.
We pretended we landed, and... So everybody got up and started to put on their coats. I said, come on, Ron, let's go. Oh, it was, we're always doing stuff like that.
You could write a book on you and Ron on the road. Holy smokes, this funny stuff happened.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of fun. Well, Tim, you know who's 85 that is coming up is Harry Neal. Imagine Harry Neal, 85 yeah. years old. I'll tell you a few stories about Harry. One is that the... He's in living in Windsor, and or he's in Windsor. I don't know if he's living in there or not, but he's in Windsor. And if you're going into the tunnel, the radio doesn't work.
So he's coaching.
He's coaching Detroit, and they're not doing so well. And he knows he's going something's cooking. He gets a call from the owner and the general manager to come over and see them in Detroit. So just as he's going to go into the tunnel, he goes into the tunnel. The person on the radio says, we have a news about Harry Neal, and he goes out the tunnel. So he goes out, he gets out of the tunnel.
It's over.
So he goes in, he didn't know him. Another one.
Did he get fired?
Oh, yeah, he got fired. I think the best one, I could tell you 100 stories about Harry, but I think one of the best one he told was he was sitting, Roger Nielsen was coaching Vancouver. And
Harry Neal was GM, right?
Yeah, Harry Neal was GM. And they're not doing so well. I think that was the year he put the towel on the stick. Anyhow, doesn't matter, they're in the room. And he gets a call from the owner. And he says, I want you to fire Roger Nielsen. So Roger Nielsen's sitting about 5 feet away from him, and he says, well, I don't think that's quite a good idea, Mr. So-and-so. And he says, you know, Harry, it would be sad if two guys left. Harry Roger Nielsen got fired. So we want to wish Harry Neal a happy birthday.
I got to admit, I really kind of miss him and Bob Cole.
Yeah, but Bob Cole and them, they always hung around together. And they
did have magic. I mean, it was fun to listen to him because Harry didn't take the game so serious. No, he was always kind of cracking a joke here and there. And
Bob Cole never respond one way or another, but everybody else would like it. Yeah, Harry Neal was the best color guy I ever saw. Harry Neal, 85 years old, hard to believe.